Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
I made you special tea.
Oh yeah? Does it de-stress you?
Are you stressed? What you need is an orgasm.
Right. That should be handy in the car.
What you need is a helicopter out of Mayo.
An orgasm in the car while you're trying to get through the floods.
It's just a good release of sexual energy. Just to...
Yeah.
You can't
have an orgasm at all times of all day, though, all the time. Like
what?
You can't have an orgasm all the time.
No, you
what
can't.
What do you mean?
It's a specific time of the day. Like, you'd either have it, you know, like, you'd be having it when you're in the middle of work, like, generally. Okay. Generally, depending
palamine,
on where you work.
Palamine.
Palamine sounds like a lotion you put on yourself.
Palamine.
A palamine, a pony. He would often pull into a lay-by.
Right.
To have a go of
relieve himself.
Yeah, and I was always amazed at the urgency of it. Like, it's kind of like the...
Is he not concentrating on driving, like?
Not pulling into a lay-by, like, he's near Kinnegad.
He's pulling off in a lay-by.
Oh, the Lord, save us.
Depends
best.
On the quality of the lay-by, doesn't it? the one in Kinnegad opposite the statues.
But if there's
statues,
a nice view, is it?
No, you just
opposite
need
the statues.
You know the three wooden statues just there outside Kinnegad on the bog, where you look over? You have to pull into a proper, quiet lay-by, Tommy. You couldn't be doing that in the motorway.
All I'm saying to you is that this pal of mine who had... Now, that's... It's...
So what's happening here, by the way?
So it's Posh Tea from London.
Of course it is.
Sent over from Posh Tea.
Just have a go over and tell me what you think. It
smells nice anyway.
Does it, yeah.
Oh God, it smells like Royal Ascot.
Yeah?
Yeah, fine. No sugar, no, it's just tea.
Just tea.
Just go, don't put milk in
there. Go on anyway.
So anyway, so he would just have this, it's hard to imagine being that. I've often been like pulling into Dublin and have to find a toilet.
Yeah.
You know, I've often had that experience.
Or bursting for the toilet.
Yeah. But I've never had the experience of how I better swing in here and rifle through my drawers for release. I've never had that.
Is he a sex addict, your friend?
I don't think so, but he's also a bit of a kleptomaniac. He's mad for buzzes. He was a great man for drugs in the day, a great man for drugs. And he also liked drugs that agitated him. Do you know, he liked drugs that were kind of any sort of an edge at all, grindy, mouldy.
Dangerous.
Angry drugs. And then he'd often go to a shop and he'd come out and say, I got you that. And it'd be like Cosmopolitan or Vogue or something, or Ireland's Own. But the thrill would be in the robbing of it. But yeah, he used to pull in at lay-bys and...
pull himself off.
Yeah, it's an urgency, isn't it? Yeah.
It doesn't sound great.
So the question I have is, why is orgasm we associate with the female body? Why isn't orgasm when men say, I'm about to have an orgasm? Wouldn't it sound better than us than just coming and going all the time? Like, I'm going to have an orgasm. Men don't have orgasms.
You could be be a team leader in the sector. You could be at the vanguard.
But like the sounding of, I had an orgasm last night.
Who would you say it to?
Yeah.
No, but listen to me. I'm going to say
pull
it again.
Pull it into central.
Matthew, I'm interested in this now.
How are you, Anne? How are you, Hector? How are you keeping?
I had an orgasm last night.
Just a chicken fillet, the Sunday Times and the milk, please. I had an orgasm last night.
I'm a bit dehydrated.
But like, Orgasm. Yeah. It's like the Orgasmatron. What movie was that? Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, yeah. Sex like, and Death.
What for men, we don't have orgasms. We just have ejaculate. That is an awful word. That is an awful word. That sounds like the lift in the Stephen's Green shopping centre. Ejaculation. I had an ejaculation. It doesn't fucking sound...
Ejaculation.
Hector, nobody says that.
Ejaculation. Reservation. I'm sure Bono could slip that in.
It sounds like you'd learn trigonometry or whatever.
Imagine me turning around to be lad, the lads up into the garden.
Me lad.
How'd you get on in Greece? Do you have an ejaculation on the holiday? Ejaculation.
Nobody says that.
No, but that's the technical word. Women use orgasm all the time because it sounds scrunchy and warm and beautiful. Orgasm.
Is anything, so with words.
I'm like, going to come.
With words and the way, like, they, is anything now? A-N-Y-T-H-I-N-G, is anything now retarded?
I don't understand.
Like, you can't use the word retarded about people. So when we were growing up in the 20s and 30s.
Yes.
It was like, in the schoolyard, like, retarded was a word that, it was a kind of discriminatory word against people with special needs. And the language is always changing. You know, like, yeah. we used to use the word spa.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
And it was
a name we'd call one another.
It was in jest.
Yeah.
Yes. You'd never meet somebody with special needs and go, look at that spa.
Yeah.
Right. You'd never do that. But it was the way we had a slag in one another.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Or a fool. Who you could, you fool, you spa, you fool. And it was the way. So but then we were, because our brains were only half formed and we were, we were grown up and it was...
We were immature.
Yes. So, but now we're mature, which is always a word people use to describe me.
Well, I don't think so. I was going to say that's a worrying
There's
word.
There's another word, mature.
A woman
mature.
Came up to me,
woman, mature video.
A woman came up to me the other day and she said, I was sitting with the family in a cafe in Salt Hill.
You were or she was?
Both of us.
Okay.
And she was with her people, I was with my people. Now, there's an elderly... dose of ladies who go into the cafes in Salt Hill.
Yes.
You know, well to do.
Yeah.
The Salt Hill
with
girls.
Their bathrobes, with their fancy 500
no.
euro.
No. Well, these would be the far side of them.
These are the walkers.
You're talking about the women in, say, between 30 and 50.
There's a collective of them.
In the dry robes.
The dry robes.
No, I'm talking the far side of the
okay,
dry robes.
Okay, these are the, yeah.
Everything is dry with these ladies. I'm talking about women in their 70s and 80s.
Okay, yes.
And they have an attraction to you. Those people.
So they're mad for coffee and they're mad for buns and tea and the nice places in Salt Hill and maybe himself goes for a round of golf and then maybe, anyway, so
yeah.
I'm sitting there with my family and she strolls over this one, all fucking fur and talcum powder and, you know, it's a little glint in the eye.
Yeah.
You know, and she says, I hope you don't mind me interrupting now, but I just have to say, I just have to say, you're much better looking on the television. How did I get onto that? Anyway, retarded, yeah. So you cannot use the word, so we don't use the word retarded anymore in describing, the word now is people with special needs. And I'm sure once teenagers start using that as a slag, that it'll change. Like once fellas in school go, shut up, you special needs fool, right? That special needs then will become a derogatory word and they'll have to think of another word. But so retarded is the word that is beyond use now when it comes to people. But is there anything you can use the word retarded for? Should the word retarded be retired? Can anything at all...
Well, is it in the dictionary?
Yeah.
It is in the dictionary.
What's
the
definition of it in the dictionary? You have a thesaurus there, you have all the dictionaries there. Check it out. What
an English dictionary. Oh, yeah. Let's have it here now.
Right, let's just see exactly in what context could you use it.
What is retarded? Like, can you think of
retarded? Is it only used for humans?
Let's just check. No,
can you have a retarded animal? Like a retarded donkey?
I don't know. Check the word.
A retarded
where we
dog.
Get carried away.
Can you have a retarded husband?
No.
You're not allowed to have one of those.
Be handy. Be easier.
Retard. Definitely. Retard. So let's break this down, okay? Retard is a French word for going backwards. Retard. Je vais à l'étion à la retard. I went back. It's not bullshit, Tommy. It's retard. It comes from the French word to go back, to return to the original point.
Right. Have you found it?
No, yeah. I made that up, but it sounded fucking really good.
It's from the French, the old French retardé.
Yes.
Which is from the Latin retardare.
Yes.
Which means to make slow. From tardis.
Similar.
Which means sluggish.
Hello.
So to retard, to slow or delay the speed of or development of something.
So the traffic was retarded this morning, was it?
Is it? Hello, this is Midwest Radio here. We got bad traffic in Ballyhawn. It's retard on the N17 coming out of Ballandine. Big retard going into... big retard going into Tuam.
It was a retarded...
What's the eye in the sky? It's retarded all the way to Tuam.
And now let's go to Galway FM. And he's out on the Harley-Davidson. Down here on the Tuam Road, shocking retarded here down with the Huntsman.
Yeah, so there you go now. Go on.
The traffic is totally retarded. He blocked up Bormore.
So, and the other one then is, it's offensive. Now, see, it's offensive now. 40 years ago, it wouldn't have had the word offensive after it. A retarded person is a foolish person.
Hmm.
So I just thought it's...
But why
it's just the language there.
So it's it says in the dictionary that it's an offensive word. Yeah, so basically, it's advising you not to ever use it.
Society has made it an offensive word because... It's just the way
It's because it's the slag.
It's a stigma to
us. Once teenagers start using it as a slag to one another, like, say with the word, when we were growing up, like, my father used to call me a faggot.
Yeah.
Like, in a cute way. Yeah. Come here to me, you little faggot, you. Because isn't a faggot a type of a small worm as well? Yeah. It's small, so. But when we were in school, the slag, like, queer was... The slag, if you were anyway, I don't think it related to actual homosexuality. I think it was just a kind of a way of teasing people. Who's this? Look at these queers coming down the road at you. And it was kind of like, so then that word, the adventure of that word was then that became an offensive term. And then what happened is that gay people took it back.
Yeah, queer as folk, when that broke.
And so, okay, we're now...
We are queer, and we're happy to be queer.
Yeah, so they grabbed that word back. Faggot is still... Look at these faggots.
They took it out of the song, didn't they?
It's come back, you maggot.
They took it out of the song.
So, but I think it does go back to... In Ireland, anyway, I think it goes back to... Once teenagers start... And I've been listening to teenagers now in the backs of cars for... fucking 27, 28 years, and kids now still use the word gay as a bit of a slag in primary school, which I was kind of going, wow, you know what I mean?
Do they?
Yeah. They also use it in a very normalised description of somebody's sexual preferences. So it has both.
Okay.
But it's like whore and whore. Like, you're an awful whore. You know what I mean? The people say that. We've been saying that. You're not for generations in Ireland. Jesus, you dumb whore. We were drinking last night in awful whore for pints.
Yeah.
But then the whore thing has come in, which really puts a different slant on it, but the same as queer. Oh, he's awful queer, that lad. Jesus, he's queer in the head. Yeah. We had our Irishness ways of saying those words for hundreds of years, and now they're gone. They're gone. Because it's not appropriate to say somebody's queer. Now, if he's queer in the head, there's no harm in somebody.
Yeah, but you still can't say, I don't think you can say it. Like, it used to be used a lot. Like, sure, he's queer. As in, he's odd, almost.
Queer, but queer. Yeah. Queer. Queer and queer and whore and hower and whore. Yeah, it's interesting.
I miss the tramps.
You miss what you mean, you miss tramps?
Do you remember when you were growing up, there was always a couple of...
Tramps,
Two trampy young ones.
See, there's another word. You see, you're a tramp. You know, look at him.
The tramps always good crack? Like, if someone said,
"But you see, what is the definition of a tramp? A tramp to me, you see, you have the traveller and you have the tinker and you have a tramp."
No. I know
what you're talking about. I'm trying to defuse you out of that.
Like wayward ladies.
Yeah.
No, they were randy.
She's Randy.
Yeah, and we never use that word anymore.
Randy. You can use that word.
That was the greatest thing in secondary school to know.
The young one was Randy.
She's Randy.
Do young fellas
she's
use that?
Randy.
Do young ones use that now?
Nobody uses that. Or loose. She's very loose.
That'd be used.
Randy.
Loose isn't as attractive.
Trampy. I don't like Tommy Trampy.
I love Trampy.
I don't like Trampy. It associates me with sleeping outside.
No, to me, like a tramp of a young one is she'd be up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning smoking and playing cards. And do you know what I mean? And she'd have loads of petticoats, and she would
listening
just
to
be
the
a
hot
laugh.
House flowers.
Yeah, she'd be a laugh,
smelling the patchouli oil.
Totally, it'd be
greyhounds.
West Clare tramp,
caravan in Kinvara.
Oh, she's a tramp.
There was a nightclub
in Galway called Tramps.
There was a few nightclubs around Ireland.
And there was one in
Ranelagh
or Ratmines called Trampo.
Tramps.
And
the Tramp Line.
Trollops.
Yeah. And the Tramp Line.
Where are you going tonight? We're going out to Hoover's.
And you can ring. And you, back in the 80s, you could ring the Tramp Line. Hello.
What was a trollop again?
A trollop is a woman with two makeup, is it? A trollop.
Who's that trollop?
No, I would never use the tramp back in the
but
day.
I'm using tramp as a positive term. Yeah. Like, it's beautiful. It's like she's in
flighty.
She's in Fleetwood Mac or something. Or
you're glowing by the sound. But
yeah,
when you say
the word,
you're
tramp. Yeah.
She's lovely.
There was a time I used to dress like the Hot House Flowers. I'd have all that gear on. And 1991 Fela, you'd meet loads of tramps in the out camping and all for the weekend. They were like fly-by-night hippie Laura Ashley walking through barley fields with all that imagery.
Yeah, but also she was on the dole. She smoked rollies. She
Janis Joplin.
She'd be up all night, and she'd go for a fry first thing in the morning. And she,
that's
am I talking about a bloke?
Yeah, I think so.
That just sounds like every bloke in the world. He wants a bloke woman.
A bloke with a vagina. A trans man. Yeah. That's what I want.
I had written down here. It's funny because you said I'd written down here. We did 5 years of Latin in school, and for what? What did Latin give us? And we're going back into retard. It comes from the Latin word.
Yes.
But what in the name? 5 years we studied.
Well, what did you learn?
5 years I studied Latin.
Do you have any?
And it was an adventure. It was an adventure. It was a linguistic adventure. But for what reason? The classic languages, I'm afraid, are dead. French.
But what?
They're not dead. French is dead.
To who?
French is dead.
What are you talking
Latin
about?
Is dead. Spanish is
Latin
the new world.
Might be.
This is the new world. Latin and French, the classics, and German.
French isn't
Why
dead.
Are children learning German in school? For what purpose? And French, because nobody speaks it, and it's dying.
Well, you've been all around the world, so are you telling us that...
I'm telling you the classics are dead, and Latin is well dead. Why were we subjected to 5 years of Latin punishment?
But it wasn't up to us, and you thrived at Latin.
I didn't thrive.
You did thrive.
Yeah,
I didn't thrive at Latin.
Hector, you were just
I got a C in honours Latin in the leaving.
More than anybody else did.
You didn't do the leaving in Latin, though.
No, I didn't do the leaving in Latin.
He left Latin. He left Latin to head across the country, but I had to stay in Latin.
I was expulare.
Even the word Latin, it sounds like it's fucking just Latin. Weighing on you. I came into Latin class. But why did we do it
because
in St. Pat's?
They wanted us to have a grounding in all European languages.
Do you think Latin was the key for me then for languages?
No, I think your brain is just, the way you're neurologically wired means you have an ability to pick up language in minutes. Like you were in Poland for half an hour and you came back fluent. Jak shemash.
Barja dobrze.
Yeah.
Jak masz nemne.
You know.
Skandyjczyk and Polski. But like, I love all the basics.
Polski szklep is the only thing, and Lewandowski is the only bit of Polish.
And this is the best Polish song. We learned this in Gdansk. We were in Gdansk and we were in Poznan for 3 weeks with the roadcaster.
You can Gdansk if you want to.
You can think, no friend of mine. So... the roadcaster was driven by a Polish lad for 5 days and five nights. I told you that story to get to Poznan. And then we broadcast every morning for 2 weeks solid in the roadcaster at 7 o'clock in the morning till 10. And there were people that were like walking.
How did you fill it?
Walking zombies. Irish supporters were drinking. Air Square, 25,000, like Poznan Air Square, 25,000 Irish fans on the absolute rip on strong Polish beer. And it was party time because the recession was... in full flight. People had saved and scrimped and got to Poland. But anyway, I learned one great Polish song off the Polish. And it's like, Polska Diablo Cervone. What's that song now? I'm going to sing it in Polish, but I don't know what the song is in it. Polska Diablo Cervone. Polska Diablo Cervone. Polska Diablo Cervone. Polska Diablo Cervone. What's that song in English? Na 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 na. We are na 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 na. For the boys in green, stand up.
That's not it.
That's it. It is. Stand up for the Polska Diablo Cervone.
There's an actual song though, isn't there? From that, it's not. That was changed.
So that means Polish red and white forever. So that's my Polish language thing there. But come back to Latin. I have
it. But it must have been your base for languages.
5 years of studying Latin, and listen, it was fun. But I don't know why.
Puer et magister adventi ad Colosseum et pungus in malungus. Fungus.
That's one of his jokes from 1999.
It's a true story.
It's a classic.
It's a true fucking story.
Michael McGrath.
No, I was sitting beside. I'm amazed. I can't.
Pat Brady.
No, I can't give any names.
Right.
I'm amazed at fellas who, to all intents and purposes, couldn't tie their fucking shoelaces in school. That they're now the CEOs of international fucking finance corporations. I must have sat beside fellas going, you'll end up driving a bus. I know for a fact, or a passenger on a bus, or something. Your future is sent. And then you meet them like 15 years later and they're moving titanium from rural China.
I know a lad. I met him at the
No
Plough.
Names.
I
no know, names.
I met a lad at the Ploughing Championships.
They'll sue us, Hector. We can't call them.
I met a lad at the Ploughing Championships.
Retarded.
It was some retard. You'll never go nowhere.
That's like retarded.
I met a guy at the Ploughing Championships I hadn't seen in a long time.
And stop it, you.
He is a CEO. He's a software. He's got loads of people working for him in software and computers, and he fixes things.
And he couldn't open his own lunchbox in school.
And he was a good footballer. But by God, I didn't think he'd be into software and fixing things for a massive Irish company. Because I asked him, standing in the Ploughing Championships, in the shite, in the rain, in channels of mud. And mud it was. I said, what exactly do you do? Because I was intrigued. And he goes, well, I have about 16 people work for me on software. We make software programs that fixes that company that he named. And I knew the company. And he said, well, I take care of all their glitches. And I was there going, the fuck did you get that job?
I know. Because school didn't suit them. Anyway,
but so Latin classics. Tell the story.
I know, it's
who was it? You were sitting beside him. It was Latin class.
He was sitting beside him and it's the story of the basket of flowers. And I
was this a Latin story?
So the Latin sentence was Puer et magister adventi ad Colosseum et pungus in malungus fungus. And what we had to do was we had to read out the Latin and then we had to translate it into English. Exactly.
Was this for the jug?
Yeah.
Was the jug there?
The jug, yeah.
The jug had two nicknames.
Yeah. He came in, like, he was a kind of a portly gentleman. And he thrived on his nickname, Killer. He thrived on it.
And we were shit.
He came in the first year. And he had a kind of a fine, huge, gorgeous Irish Westmead stomach on him. It was like,
a pair of sandals.
It was profound. He was like a cow in its hind legs. Like, big, huge.
Big Frisian.
Bullock their stomach on him, and he came in and we were only 12 and 13, and the first day in Latin he says, well, my name is, and he said his name, you might know me as the Killer. That was his nickname. Imagine that to a group of fucking 12 year olds.
We were shitting
the Killer.
Ourselves.
He did not.
We were shitting ourselves.
It's like meeting fucking Harvey Keitel and fucking Jackson in a nightclub. Like, I am the Killer. And then but his actual nickname was the Jug because he was a fat cunt. He didn't take any pride in that nickname, sure he didn't.
The Jug.
I'm the Jug. I'm the fattest bastard in the school. They call me the Jug. We had another teacher who was a small person, and that person was known as the Dot.
The Dot.
And there was another teacher who had another stomach, and he was known as the Pot. We had the Pot and the Dot.
So we'd have the Pot and the Dot in second successive classes. I've got the Pot and the Dot now.
Anyway, so we had to translate the Latin. And you'd be afraid of him. Like, he wouldn't hit you, but he'd be behind you and he'd have a grip of your ear.
Oh, God.
And he'd lift you up off the seat. Or he'd prod you with a pencil.
Oh.
Like, so it wasn't baiting in the sense of,
right,
like a Christian brother baiting. It was just kind of, and he was so angry. And we were children, like, this fat cunt shouting at us. Angry, you know. So the whole day was kind of designed around Latin in your imagination. And the feeling was, if you survived Latin, the rest of the day was a breeze. So if Latin was last, it was always difficult because, you know, you knew you had to get through it. But if Latin was first, it was over before you knew it. You know? But anyway, this particular day, Latin was first after lunch on a Friday or something. And he came in and you wouldn't know which way he was going to go. Sometimes you go every second fella. And sometimes you go just in order, 1, 2, 3. So the fella sitting over the far side of the class knew that they were going to be okay. This particular day, he's going every second fella. And the first fella goes, and I was third in line. And the first fella goes, Puerit Magister, Adventi et Colosseum, et Pungus in Melungus Fungus. And this book gets slammed down and he starts shouting at the young fella. He said, the boy and the master went to the Colosseum and they got a basket of flowers, was the translation, and he'd lost the plot. And he said, Pungus and Malungus Fungus does not mean a basket of flowers. We did this yesterday. And many times do I have to tell you? Next. Oh, and the next fella was so scared that he just said the same thing as the first fella. He just went, the boy and the master went to the Colosseum and they got a basket of flowers. That's the level of fear that was in it. Like, and he just fucking roaring and shouting. And this fella, like, he wore sandals and you could see the blood pressured feet in him trying to burst out of the sandals, and their head was, and the neck was all physically swollen scared. With fucking redness, like he was.
Oh my God.
And he was shouting, and he turned to me, and at this stage the only thing I could fucking see was a basket of flowers. I knew it was the wrong thing to say, but there were the only words I was capable of speaking, right? And he says, boy and the master went to the Colosseum and they got a basket of flowers. And the fucking... So he'd shout at people, and once the book got flung down on the desk, whoever had spoken last was in for a baiting.
Oh, Jesus.
So when he chose who was going to get the baiting, in a way, nobody wanted to see anybody get a baiting, but they were kind of relieved because...
It wasn't them. Because you'd be cowering behind the desk.
So he threw the book down and he stood behind me and I can't see him and he's hurting me and he's shouting at me and he says to me, Pungus in Malungus Fungus does not mean a basket of flowers. Is that clear, Tiernan? Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he said, what's clear? And I have this special needs thing where if I think of something funny, I have to say it. And he went, what's clear? And I went, foxes glassy on mince, so.
Oh my God, did he beat you up? Oh, Jesus.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right. Hammered the fucking head off me. But it was that thing of, once I saw the joke...
You couldn't let it go.
I couldn't let it go because there was an ad back then of a polar bear standing on a fox's glacier
island. On an island.
With a fox's glacier mint. What's clear? Fox's glacier mint.
Every day
and
revolved.
And everyone laughed in the classroom.
We'd be on the verge of crying with fear, but we'd also be on the verge of laughing because we're giddy as fuck, first years, and we're having one of the times of our lives. But everything, as he said, revolved around Latin. Latin class, if it was over, it was the rest of the day, it was easy.
And did you ever discover what the actual phrase was?
Pungus and Malungus.
No.
I can remember Vocavam, Vocabas, Vocabat, Vocabarum, Vocabant. I remember those.
Did you take your name from Hector from Latin?
No.
You did, of course.
I took it.
Because Hector was one of the characters we studied in
Hector,
Latin.
I was christened Hector in first year.
No, you weren't. I remember how it happened.
Reflectors.
I remember how it
happened.
In the
Kellogg's Cornflakes box, there were reflectors for your bike. Yeah. And the boys were going, look at the reflectors. Hector's reflectors. Go on.
So what happened was, we all started calling each other by our father's names.
Right.
That was the gig, right? So there was a friend of ours called Alan, whose father's name was Willie. And to this day, he's Will. He's Will, right? And there was a fella, was Joe Rowe, was his father Joe?
Joe Sr.
Yeah. Anyway, so
Joe Rowe.
Everybody kind of said... We went through this phase of calling everybody their father's name. And I was Kevin. Where's Kevin Tiernan? And Hector, for reasons best known to himself, didn't want to have his father's name.
Right.
So we were in...
Mickey.
We were in Latin. And you came in just one day and you go... Because we were studying about the kind of the Greek myths and stuff like that. And Achilles and...
The wooden horse of Troy and all the boys.
Yeah. And you just said, come in one day and says, call me Hector. And we thought it was kind of funny because it was such an unusual.
Yeah,
and it stuck with you. Hector. And you changed your name by depot to Hector.
I did, yeah. And now the passport office, it's the whole thing, it's Hector and the passport. But we were doing vectors and maths and it continued. There was vectors and hectors and reflectors and hectors and Schecter. Jody Schecter was the formula.
Phil Spector,
Jody Schecter. But the best, isn't that mad that I've written down something here? We had a strike. There was a strike. Another thing about school was there was a strike. I'll never forget, we were in fourth year and we were rebels. But then the word got round town that there was going to be a strike, that the convent were going on strike and Loretto were going on strike and the fourth and fifth years in St. Pat's were going on strike because we weren't happy about something.
Because the teachers were...
What was it?
The teachers were going to go on strike and we weren't going to get enough classes of study before the leaving or something stupid.
Yeah, we said, then this was like before trade unions for students. Oh. There was no student union council, but there was no mobile phones, but word had infiltrated up to us in the school.
Hector was the Arthur Scargill of Navan.
Lechfa Wensa, all the boys.
Nelson Mandela of Nokumba.
So we knew that morning that we were going on strike, that the girls in the convent at 3 o'clock in the afternoon were leaving an hour earlier.
Can you imagine?
They were going to get up out of their desks, walk out the door.
In their pleated skirts.
And walk out of the school.
The dirty tramps.
And the girls in the Lareha,
the posh birds,
were going to get up out of their posh seats in their purple uniforms, mauve, cerise pink. It's a little bit burgundy, is it? Burgundy. And they were going to leave. And then we all met at lunchtime around the lockers and we go, boys,
we cannot stand for this anymore.
We are leaving.
So the Dunstores workers are out.
We are leaving at 3 o'clock. All in favour, say aye, aye.
Yay!
Right, if one goes, we all go! All for one and one for all.
So then,
I will never forget on our digital watches checking at about 10 to 3. And it was like, right, so Pythagoras' theorem is in this and that. And they said, boop, 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 boop.
Chaos back.
So
who's boys
the,
up.
Who's the first? So we were all shitting ourselves, literally fucking shitting ourselves.
We were in leaving.
Then Jerry Martin and a few of the boys, the big boys, had tears out. And imagine standing up in the class when you're afraid to get your head bent off you. And then you can hear the other creaky chair, you know, the plasticky chairs. And then I stood up and then we all stood up and then we ran towards the door. We ran towards the door to get out as quick as possible before the teacher could get us.
just smacking us. And then all of a sudden, all of us, we just started walking out. We just walked out. And then we stood outside the main door. We go, what do we do now? Where do we go now?
Did you not go out marching down the town?
Then we marched down the town and we met all the girls. We were on strike.
We did that in Leaving Cert too. And we arranged for the newspaper to meet us down the town. So we had photographs of the whole thing. We marched down through the whole middle of the town. The teachers went on strike. And again, we were left with, you know, the sort of these ones coming in to, you know, cover study time. So we decided we were going to go on strike. We walked out in the middle of class, 11 o'clock in the morning, the class. And we got the whole school to come with us. We were in first Leaving Cert, but we got the whole school out. Come on, we're leaving.
You were the Greta Thunberg of Ballina.
See, and we had the signs and all, mate.
Yeah, out with the placard.
Is Greta still in it?
Greta, she is. She's only
Greta's 21 now, isn't she?
Is she?
I don't know what Greta's doing at the moment.
Married with three kids, driving a Volvo.
An electric car.
She's a big 28.
She's settled now.
She's a 28,000 square Scandi home. And, yeah.
She's settled now. What? She must have left school when she was young, did she?
No. She just didn't. She just stopped going for a while. And she was right to. The fire in her.
She protested about school. Yeah.
What was that? I saw a good documentary on her about 2 or 3 years ago when she took that boat. She advertised for people who were travelling across the Atlantic, can I hop a lift? And so loads of people with these luxury yachts gave her said, meet us in Portugal. That's how she travels.
Speaking of climate change and...
speak of that.
And the
and making changes.
And the inevitability
of flood
of the destruction of human life within the next century. I just have to have a big shout out to Cara Boyle.
Why?
No, I have to.
No. Okay, well, if you're going to say Cara Boyle, go on, say
I have to. So no, I was in a bit of a bind last week and I had to...
Hello.
And there was...
Good this? Mayo Company.
Are they Mayo?
Oh, of course they're Mayo. The Mayo men.
Oh, really?
That's the reason why you're giving them a shout out, because they're good Mayo men.
As proud as BJ's.
I thought it was the River
Arles. And after all, they're Mayo men that came to Galway and made their millions. They made their millions. 64 trucks.
Really?
And who did you ring? Marie and Conor?
No, I rang them up and said, look,
hello.
I said,
the Dalton family, good Mayo people.
I said, hi, I'm in a bit of a bad way. It was during the cowl snap, one of the first cowl snaps.
And were you low, Tommy? Were you low?
I was empty.
Did you go out with the shtick?
I was empty. E-M-P-T-Y.
Yeah.
Empty.
Well, that wouldn't happen in a normal house.
And
no.
I said, I'm an awful way, and there's kids in the house, and I've no oil. And she says to me, she said, I can get it to you by phoned on a Wednesday, late on a Wednesday, like 3:45.
Bad.
On a Wednesday. And she said, look, we might be able to get you by Saturday. And I says,
did you drop the name?
I dropped it like a
fucking take.
Like a hot
mic drop. Mic drop.
And here he is.
TT in the house. Go on. And she said, okay. Oh, really? And she said, oh, is this something? I said, yeah. And it arrived within the hour. So a big shout. I'm very, very grateful for the people in Cara Boyle and their kindness and their swift delivery of heat for the house.
Well, there was
big shout out to Cara Boyle, but the world is fucked.
But just on that, there was a lad who played centre forward for Turlough Moore back in the 70s and the 80s, and he was known as the fastest man in Galway hurling, and he was ferocious on the pitch, and he was clocking 100 metres quicker than any man, and this is a fact, and he was a skillful hurler, but he's a hardy bastard from Turlough Moore centre forward.
Where's Turlough Moore again?
Turlough Moore is just 100 yards past me on the way past Clare Galway back towards Lacca.
What are the parishes surrounding
you? So Turlough Moore, Annadown, Corrifin, Clare Galway, Cairnmore. Oh Jesus Christ, they lead the spuds with the fucking... But anyway, this lad was the centre forward and he was the fastest and he played county and he's a hardy bastard and they say he was the fastest hurler in Galway for many a year. But didn't he start doing oil then a couple of years ago? So shout out to Martin Nocton Oil. I love ringing Martin because he's Hector. How are you? So I want to give a shout out to Martin Nocton Oil for keeping everyone warm in Clare Galway now.
Yeah, and I use Corcoran's fuel in
Corcoran's.
Yeah.
Who do you know in the Corcoran's?
And that's just our local shop, so anytime I need fuel, they're always there within the day.
Imagine ringing the shop. Can I have a carton of milk? can I have a chicken roll with chipotle and a full tank of
petrol? Full tank. I'm always looking for diesel.
But those were the great days. Those were the days when you were on strike in school. But have the kids the balls now to say, we're on strike and we are out of here because this place is no good at the moment and we're gone? My lad gets his, like, they can't even go down. Well, I haven't said that. My lad went down for a haircut during one. I says, why'd you go down for a haircut? Because I had a double free class. Free classes. I think free classes should be free classes. There's nobody in the class. That was the great thing about secondary school. The enjoyment of a free class.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck are you supposed to do in a free class?
We had to go to the library.
Yeah.
We sit in the library.
Yeah, one of my lads went up and went down for a haircut and came back and then got castigated by the school. But now the way they castigate you by the school is they send you, you've got this barometer thing and you have all your points on it and it's all behaviour stuff. It's like something you'd see on primetime around the elections. And the more things you get bad, the whole the dial goes up and all this. Oh, it's gone very, very complicated.
Remember when we did the thing in Navan? We went to St. Pat's in Navan, the three of us, and we talked to the students. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. I was kind of taken aback by the relationship the kids had with the students. So when we were in that school, it was
students and the teachers.
Yeah, it was very antagonistic when we were in school. It was kind of, they were the authority.
Yes.
They were the enemy. It's us kind of against them. That's the way it was.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't that way in Garbally now in Ballinasloe. It was more like they're just older fellas, the teachers. But in Navan, it was definitely...
They were the enforcers.
Mind yourself. Keep out of their way. They could make life horrible for you. They're like wardens in a prison. So I went up to talk to the, say something to the students in Navan when we were back there last year, and the relationship must have changed completely, because I said to them, I don't know if you remember this, I stood up and I says, look, I said, there's about, what was it, about 600 or 700 of them sitting straight in front of us, and the teachers were all standing back against the wall, and I said what I would have loved somebody to have said to us when we were in school, but this is like 2023 now. I said, look at your teachers up against the wall. Look at them standing there, the bastards. And the kids didn't know how
to react.
And then I said, let's play a game called Hunt and Kill a Teacher.
And, like, and these first years sitting in the front.
They're all looking,
what's he talking about? Who's this guy?
Even the teachers were kind of shaking their heads going, what's
leave us alone.
But if you said that to us, it would have happened.
We would have just went, somebody stand up. And
we're all on the hunt. We're on the hunt.
We're on strike because we're going to kill a teacher.
Teachers are all trendy
now. Yeah, it's completely different.
The difference.
They're friends.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
I must have told you the story, but I'll tell it again.
Right.
About the couple that I know. And he was a poet and she was a tramp.
Right.
And
real life.
Yeah. And he had the loan of a car for the weekend. And he said to her, I have the use of a cottage in Sligo.
Yeah.
And she says, And what would you take me to Sligo for? And he says, I don't know, we'll just hang out for the weekend. And she says, I'll go to Sligo with you, like, on one condition. And she takes a puff out of the roll. And what's that, is he? He says, I'll go to Sligo with you now. And this was not the start, this was not a relationship. She had no
long... She
just met him and, you know, might have been with him once or twice. And, you know, she said, I'll go to Sligo with you now, but there's one condition. What's that, says he, thinking he was the bowled fucking gypsy poet. And she says, I want you to ride me in every graveyard we pass.
Every one of them.
And they drove from Galway, from Dublin to Sligo, and had a ride in every graveyard that they passed.
And that's a true story. And now I can tell you one thing. There's a song in that.
Oh yeah. Isn't that a beautiful? Like, wouldn't you
is
be?
Is that beautiful?
Wouldn't you be smitten for life?
Would you?
Oh, wouldn't you be smitten
almighty.
For your life?
Almighty.
Because we're all getting too civilised.
Wouldn't you be
and
there
too
going,
settled?
This woman has just put the wild, feral wolf inside me.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine stopping
and
off?
She'd lift up her petticoats and she'd sit
at down. At the hard.
She'd lift up her petticoats.
At the headstone in
what you call the
Clonmacnoise.
What? She'd ride you in Clonmacnoise.
She'd ride you up again the tower in Clonmacnoise. Like,
and you'd fall down
and the vixen in the heat in the distance.
And then you'd look down and you'd say, there's a bus loads of fucking Americans coming. Hurry it up!
Was it nighttime or daytime?
A week.
By the time you got to Ballymahan.
The vixens, I don't know if you have a near...
Vixen, there's another good word.
That's a good one.
Yeah. She's a vixen.
I don't know if you have an ear for this now of an evening where you are, but the vixens are in heat at the minute.
Are they? I didn't hear any of them.
Oh, they are.
There's been one outside our window now over the past couple of times.
Badgers and stoats. This is their time.
Do they go into seasonal?
She's calling.
Nothing worse than a randy vixen around the parish.
Because she couldn't tend to herself. It's not like the ladies of the country, like lying the flat at the back and they can, you know... DIY. But the vixen can't get out of herself at all.
It's a long and lonely road.
Sure she can.
For a vixen in season.
The vixen season. Would be just...
Gives it again, Tommy. So
it's like a cat.
Well, it sounds like a cat, and that's what we thought it was the first day. What? We thought the cat was in trouble. We said, "Where's the cat?" And we went into the kitchen, and the cat was asleep. So it's not a cat.
Did you look out the window?
I saw the vixen the following...
How far was it from the door?
Underneath the window.
Why was she doing that outside the window?
Because she's looking for love. She needs a dart.
Did she find it? Did you hear her finding it?
No, but if she keeps at it, I might go down to see her through myself.
A vixen. And a vixen. And what animal are we talking about here with a vixen?
I'm just saying.
Jesus, what are you like?
I just wanted to make sure. A lot of people
wouldn't
understand.
Do you think she's retarded or something?
I'm just saying, I want to open
what
it to you.
The
audience,
about?
Well, not everybody knows a vixen is a female fox because there are people that don't know the countryside. That's all I'm saying.
What's a female badger? A wagon.
Stoats and ferrets. They're vixens.
But keep an ear out for it now because I think the vixens are in heat.
Yeah.
And I saw this.
But is it seasonal? Or are they not just always in heat?
They couldn't always be in heat. Should they be run ragged?
Should they be run ragged regularly?
No, it's their
every
time. It's their
of
time.
Month.
When it's their time, it's
well, only,
and they call, Rita. They call.
Yeah.
That
they can hear it from miles.
The sound of that would just have travelled around Barna last night. The call. And it's beautiful, isn't it? The
it's the way
that comes to me, I'm
just,
here.
Just, it wouldn't even be as civilised as that. It'd be...
What do you think she was saying in vixen language?
Where are you? She said, cock out. I need cock. I need fox cock. Fox cock. Cock. I love cock. I want cock. I love cock. Cock. Cock.
Fox cock.
Give me cock. Give me cock. That's all she wants. She just wants a few little paws up on her back.
Yeah. Just this little paws. She wants big ones. This, big strong paws.
No, she doesn't. Foxes are slight and quick.
I know, but she...
Foxes are slight and nifty.
A little bit stronger than her.
And the nifty fox.
Just And the man fox is ready at any hour of the day or night. He'll be at home like fucking George Clooney
watching
in Fantastic Victor Fox. And next thing he'd hear...
Well,
and the wife would throw him the dart. Don't you fucking dare. Don't you fucking dare.
And he's gone.
He's gone.
I'll make you a cup of tea, says he.
He's brought the sons with him as well for the look.
Oh. Yeah, just teach them.
Yeah. And she's there, and the vixen is there by the bins in our house. Cock! Cock! Give me cock! I'm not sure if she minds what type of cock it is at all.
She's looking
at me. Really?
Jesus. You could see to her yourself and she'd be happy with that. You'd be arrested now, wouldn't you? For making up to a fox.
I think so.
What were you doing? Your Honour, I heard her. If you got a man judge, you'd understand. What did you hear? I was watching the Carabao Cup semi-final and next thing I heard...
Above in the blue bin. Above between the blue bin and the black bin.
And the man judge would say, "Ah, fair enough, sure. If I'd hurt myself, I'd be down there with you."
On that romantic note,
the vixens.
I love cock.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.